in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 17, from the verse number 7 to the verse number 10, is a short passage that I have not found in other Gospels. And I would like to take some time and share about that my impressions or my understanding, what I think the Lord has given us here as He is teaching. That is Luke 17 from the verse number 7. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. In the chapter 16, from the verse number 19 to the end of that chapter, the Lord is indicating that the way we live, the way we think, the way we exercise or practice our faith, our attitude, indicates our direction, and the direction points to our destiny. In the beginning of the chapter 17, the Lord is continuing that lesson, that teaching. He said to the disciples that it's impossible that we can be living here without facing any offenses. But I'm afraid He's also teaching us that for us, the way we are, it's impossible not to commit some offenses, and that in both cases we are endangered. When the Lord told us that it would be better for the perpetrator, for the person that is committing offenses or causing somebody to stumble, for that person it would be better or less of an amount of suffering, less of a grief or tragedy for that person would be to be cast into the sea with a big stone hanging on his neck or her neck. The Lord is not only pointing to the end, to the destiny of the path of making offenses, but also to our experience here in this life. You may think that a person that is offending the others is really a happy person. He is cheerfully hurting everybody else. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. The Lord is teaching in the law that we should not muzzle an ox that is treading or thrashing grain, harvesting. We should not have an animal suffering hunger while working with food. And Paul the Apostle is explaining in somewhere in the epistles that the Lord did not say that because He is concerned for the oxen. Of course He is concerned for the oxen. He is concerned for a little flea that is bothering me when I'm petting my neighbor's dog. Everything is in His care. But this commandment not to muzzle an ox that is working with grain, that commandment is not focusing on the need of the ox, but on the need of us, the need of our soul, not being cruel, not being selfish, not being self-centered, not being carnal, satanic, devilish. As the Lord is teaching in the first two verses of the chapter 17, how dangerous, how awful it is to commit offenses. In the verse number 3, He is teaching us how to protect ourselves if we are offended, if somebody is offending us, if somebody is doing something unjust, unfair to me. What am I supposed to do? He said, take heed to yourself. Don't pile up bitterness in your heart. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Get over that. Focus on the Lord, not on your fellow man. in your difficulties. But when you have something to share, again, focus on the Lord. Take Him, thank Him, praise Him, glorify His name, and then turn around and share that glory and that abundance of His goodness and grace with your fellow man, believer or not, especially believer, but also the unbeliever. Then in the verse number 4, the Lord is teaching us endurance. How many times I'm supposed to forgive my brother? And the Lord says, 7 times. And in another place He explained, 70 times 7. And it goes on and on. What is the Lord pointing to us? As soon as He tells us about forgiveness, Satan will come and speak to through our flesh and blood, justice, I want justice. And the Lord is revealing to us that our idea, our understanding of justice is from the devil, from the evil spirit. The Lord's teaching about justice and fairness is entirely different, and that's what we find in the following verses. What is our inclination when we read about the servant and the master? Where do we place ourselves? Oh, I'm the master. Somebody else is the servant. And as a master, I have all the rights. And it's so natural. It's so reasonable. I deserve all the rights. I have paid for this servant. I purchased him on the slave market. And now he's mine. But now wait. Wait. What is yours? What is thine? What is mine? Whose am I? The Lord is teaching us here, I believe, that we should take the place of a servant. In another place, He already said that when we go to a feast, we shouldn't take the highest place. It's interesting. I don't even know what is the highest place. It's not today's style. Perhaps it is in some higher, so-called higher, and spiritually lower circles. It's very important where I sit, what I'm dressed in, and how do I appear, and this and that. All of that is important to the Lord, but entirely in a different way. So the Lord says, this servant has worked very hard labor in the field, and now he's coming home tired, and I am the master. I will run to meet that servant and say, oh, thank you so much for working so hard. Oh, thou art such a good brother. No. No, that doesn't come to my mind. He's my servant. Let him do it. I don't want to spoil him. I don't want to make him lazy. Now, he's not done for today. After hard labor in the field, he has to labor at home. And then after I'm satisfied and I cannot think of anything else to burden him, then he can go and rest. What a shame. Is that a godly way of thinking? But the Lord says, if you want to make it godly, you be that servant, and you look up to the Lord as to your master, and to your teacher as to your guide. And consider myself, I should consider myself, as the property and possession of my Savior. I was created a wonderful creature in the Garden of Eden. I was granted all the abundance of God, goodness and grace, and I wasted everything. I gave all of that for a dirty, ugly lie of my enemy. I am worthless. I am worse than zero. And the Lord says, now I'm teaching you again. I'm giving you new birth. I am recreating you into a new creature. Consider that. And you are my property, my value. Be valuable. Be a servant. Look, I am a servant of my Father. I am your servant. I came to save you. And here am I teaching you and teaching you, teaching you again. And you never understand what I'm telling you. And you understand a little bit and then you think you are way too smart to listen to anybody else. You must be a teacher and teach everybody else. That's humanity. That's me. And the Lord is pointing to us the way of life and salvation. Be a servant. Serve the children. Serve the elderly. Serve the Lord in everything you do. And prosper, improve His property, which is you and all that you have. That's all the Lord's possession. in the verse number 10, the Lord says, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded to you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. It's impossible that in any case, even if I do the best service, if I do everything that the Lord commanded, He still does not owe me anything. I owe Him everything. In reality, the opportunity to serve Him, to do all that He has commanded, is something that He granted. That's His gift, that's His blessing. And I should be grateful for that. I should never allow myself to think like the elder son, I served thee for so many years. I should never think like the Pharisees, I am better than the others. I should never think as a sinner, as an infidel, I want this, I want that. No, 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 that's out of question, that's out of the field of God's goodness and grace. Everything, the instruments, the tools that I use, the time that I need to do something good, even the mind to think about good things, the heart to desire something good, everything the Lord has given me, but that's His. When He has given me a gift, a blessing, it did not become a separated entity or something that is now my own and not His anymore. To the contrary, whenever He gives me some good gift and blessing, I am more His than ever before. I belong to Him. My heart, my mind, my time, my strength, everything is His. I have nothing. I cannot make anything. But why do I need to make anything for myself? Why do I need any private property? Private property is the devil, Satan. And being part of the Lord's property, part of His new creation, that's a blessing, that's a privilege, that's something wonderful. In this same gospel according to Luke in chapter 10, from the verse number 17 I read, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And in that hour, the Lord Jesus rejoiced in His spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me, O my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and He to whom the Son will reveal Himself and His Father. The disciples of the Lord returned back from the field, and they are all excited. Look what I did. I did that. I did this. I did that. And the Lord says, no, 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 wait. Wait. You didn't do anything. That shouldn't be your rejoicing. I did that for you. The Lord did that. My Father did that. He recorded your names in the book of life in heaven. That should be your joy. What the Father did for you, and also what He is doing through you. It's not I. I belong to Satan. And what is my good and blessed portion? Lord, 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 holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. All the universe is filled with His glory. Let my heart and my soul be filled with His glory, not my own. And then the Lord Jesus Christ is giving us an example, something that we should follow. And He says, all things are delivered. He's rejoicing in his Father in all the things that the Father has delivered unto him. What is that? The cross, the sacrifice, the suffering, the grief, the awful agony that we cannot even imagine. All of that is given to him of his Father, and he's rejoicing. Why? He's looking toward that goal, that great achievement. Who is all in all? God the Father. And the Son is rejoicing in that, in spite of all the difficulties. And we should rejoice in everything that the Lord has given us, even in our tears and sighs and our groaning when it's hard, when it's difficult. It's all right to weep. Our godly tears are the seed of joy, and that is joy everlasting, because both the tears and the joy are a gift from the Lord Jesus Christ. He has brought that to us from the Heavenly Father. Blessed be His name.